Blog Talk Radio.
Live and worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Joseph Duncan. This is Vendetta Pro Radio 2K15. Live call the number, area code 646-929-2066. Call us up, hit up option number one. That'll bring you up on my little control panel here. Let me know that you have a comment, a question, an insult, whatever, you know. And go ahead and call us up, hit us up if you've got something to talk about. Right now, I'm bringing my co-host. He is the two-time former Vendetta Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion, the Rock of Love, Billy Blade. Billy.
Hey, what's up, Vendetta Pro Radio audience? I'm looking forward to this interview. It's going to be amazing. I just got out of 7-Eleven, getting something to drink, and I was being the promoter that this gentleman that we're about to have taught me everything I know. I'm getting something to drink in 7-Eleven. This guy recognized me from putting on shows and wrestling. And, of course, I have a flyer in my car. So instead of just going back to my car and going home, I decided to go get him some flyers because that's how you promote. Promoting 101. So look forward to having Jeff Hernandez on our radio show tonight.
Absolutely. And at this time, let's go ahead and bring him on, ladies and gentlemen. This man has competed in the American Wrestling Association, World Wrestling Federation, been a wrestler and a referee, co-founder of the School of Hard Knocks and Empire Wrestling Federation. I can go on and on and on, but the man can speak for himself. We'll go ahead and bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Vendetta Pro Radio, Mr. Jesse Hernandez. Jesse, welcome.
How are you guys doing, man? How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Not bad.
Not too bad at all.
It's been a hectic month with so many shows and more shows coming up. It's been pretty hectic out here.
Well, totally, Jesse. Like, you, Empire Wrestling Federation and the School of Hard Knocks is, I think, the best wrestling company in all of California. And their track record, your track record, speaks for itself. I mean, I think you guys at least run 4 to 5 shows a month. And this is not just, like, little small shows. These are shows in different cities and whatnot. And, you know, and I have to give it to you. That's I strive to be there one day.
Well, you know, Billy, I give you a lot of compliments myself to work with you because you've done one hell of a job with Vendetta, you know, and you pull a lot of people at your shows, you know, and so that says a lot. That says a lot.
I mean, that's thank you, Jesse, for the compliments. Obviously, I mean, this goes back to we always talk about this on our radio show, so maybe you could put in a little word for it, Jesse. After I'm done, you know, it's respect, you know, respect for the people that came before you and respect for your trainer and, you know, learning from, you know, the best. And obviously, when I first started wrestling, you guys were my trainers, and obviously I believe that you guys are the best and still are the best out there. And when it comes to promoting 101, I mean, I've learned from the best, which is yourself, that I strive to teach that in my guys when it comes to respect. Obviously, sometimes there's a little bit of disrespect there, but you've been through it all, I'm sure.
Well, I've seen so much, but yeah, it is about respect, Billy. It's, you know, about respecting the background that we all have come from, you know, the road that some other people have paved for us, you know. And we can never forget, you know, the Freddie Blassies, the John Polos, the Victor Riveras, the and so many others, you know. And a lot of the young talent, you know, all they know is what they see on TV. And they, you know, their history just goes back just a few years, you know. But they have no idea who other people have been, you know, that actually paved the way for all of us, you know. And it's important. It's important to be able to respect that background of those people, you know, before us, always.
Yeah, totally. And that's a lot of people forget that. I mean, a lot of people, they forget and go a different way. And honestly, this is about you, Jesse, and this interview is not about you. I mean, this is about you and not so much, you know, the respect issue, because unfortunately we could probably talk about this for a long, long time and still never come to a conclusion on why it happens nowadays, you know. But, you know, breaking down the ring, setting it up, flyering, you know, promoting, just being there, showing up with your gear and seeing what happens. I mean, that's what it used to be. I don't know nowadays. Everybody expects that you owe them something. It's kind of weird. But
You're right. Everybody wants everything handed to them on a silver platter.
Yeah, no, totally. And it sucks because, like, you know, I'm not bragging to be the best wrestler in the world. I mean, you know, I've been doing it a long time now, and I remember coming to your school, you know, from all the way from up here and from Santa Maria, you know. The thing about it is, what people don't understand about this business, I think I have a right to speak about it. I think people that's been doing it for 2, 3 years, 4 years, I don't think they have a right to tell me or tell you or tell anybody this is how it's supposed to be, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
But Jesse, can you take the time, if you don't mind, cause just in case someone I'm sure out there, maybe not, don't know who you are. Could you just tell us a little bit of your history? I know you were in AWA and obviously you were a WWF ref and whatnot. And could you at least tell us where you started out from?
Quite honestly, Billy, I'm way back with the old Mike LaBelle promotion, you know, where Jeff Walton was the San Bernardino promoter for Mike LaBelle. It was then, you know, the first California promotion that I ever worked for. But yet, you know, back in the day, you know, they knew me and, you know, they allowed me to work out in the ring, but that promotion did not allow me my first match. I had to get it somewhere else. So, you know, there was a promoter running in Tijuana at the time, and his name was Jesus Sanchez, you know, and he wanted Goliath. He wanted my trainer to work for him. And because my trainer, you know, he could not get anybody to give me and my partner that first match, he told this promoter, he says, you know what, if you want to use me, with one condition, you put my boys on the card, give them one opportunity. If they do good, you use them whenever you can. And if they don't do any good, if they're no good, then you never have to don't bother with them again. And so he fixed that match for us. You know, we wound up going down to Tijuana, me and Juan of the Friars. And believe it or not, man, we get there, and we're nervous, of course, you know, being our first match. And our first match was with Rey Mysterio Sr. And him and his partner at the time, Pequeño Polo. And the first thing that Rey tells us is that they had done radio interviews all day long, and they had put us over like we were hot, coming back from a tour in Japan, you know. So now all of a sudden they put that pressure on us. Oh, shit, now we can't, you know. Now we better be better than better, you know. That's a lot of responsibility, you know, to for these guys to have said that we were just back from Japan, some big tour or whatever, you know. Because, of course, this before the internet was popular and all that stuff. So we went in there and we had a hell of a match. We had one hell of a match. And those that were able to congratulate us, that were able to go to the back, you know, they could not believe that that was our first match. People, you know, like the doctor, the commissioners, you know, and everybody else, you know, they were just impressed with that first match that we had. And it was a Sunday, and it was an afternoon show, so we got back to San Bernardino in time before Jeff left the San Bernardino arena to let him know that we had our first match, you know. So now we wanted bookings, right? And he said, well, I'll have to hear about your first match. I've got to hear from somebody else. And so that was on Sunday. I believe by Tuesday or so, we get a call from the office, and they had booked me for Fresno the very next weekend, and stuff. So that was, you know, that was exciting. But that's how difficult it was. That's how difficult it was to get into our business, into this wrestling business back then. you know, they just didn't open the door, you know, for anybody. It was hard to get in. And that is one of the reasons why I do what I do, man. You know, I make it easy for a lot of young talent to come in, get the training, and still run a promotion to be able to for all of you guys to have that platform, you know, because this is what really gets me. The thing is that without that EWF platform, without that platform given to these guys, you know, nobody will pay him any attention, you know. And so when they start advancing, you know, when they start getting a little bit better, then they become friends with other wrestlers. And the only reason that they became friends with them is because they see how good they perform, you know. They're young kids, you know. And then they want to take them under their wing, and, you know, and all of a sudden they start giving credit to the wrong people. Instead of giving the credit to who they started with, you know.
You know what? I'm not going to name names either. I'm not going to go on radio name names. Yeah. We know who right. some people are talking about. But totally,
yeah.
You know, I'm in the same situation. I mean, Vendetta Pro is huge up in this area, and
yeah.
You know, we give them platform just like you give a platform
mm-hmm.
to EWF, which
sure.
is four or five
yeah.
shows a month. You know,
yeah.
in a day, your guys are working, you know, 3-4 days a week, and then these guys are,
sure.
you know, you're the most active
yeah.
promotion, at least in California for
sure.
And then they end up like, you know, and they get a little bit of a experience, and then they think, oh, you know what?
They think they're better than what they are, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Sure. No, I you're right, man.
But, like, some of these people, like, I'm not going to mention names or this and that. You know, I mean, but I want
to. No, there's no need to.
One of the, like, when I was there training at School of Hard Knocks, you know, like, Bo Cooper was there, Ryan Sakota,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crazy Casey, what the hell happened to that guy, by the way? You know,
man, you know, believe it or not, I just saw Casey at one of the shows that we did over in this period recently, a few months ago anyway. I think it was in October. And Casey looked better now than he did when he was wrestling for me, bro. I mean, he looked old back then. I told him, brother, like, what happened to you? You know, I mean, he didn't have no wrinkles. I have no idea what the hell he did, but he looked great.
That's awesome.
He wasn't as heavy as he was. I mean, he was bloated back then. He was just looked sickening at times, you know. And right now he looks healthy, very
That's
healthy.
Awesome.
I'm very proud. Very proud to have seen that that he was doing that well.
That's awesome. And you know, I was going to tell you when I was there, the guy that was in the ring with us a lot was Frank Kazarian, and
sure.
That's the first person I remember when I was coming up in the you know in the industry as well as like. He's like the first person that I saw in my eyes. I looked at him and that guy is going to be a superstar. You know,
sure,
I mean, he
sure.
had the superstar looks, the superstar, the attitude. He had the respectful attitude.
Oh,
he
sure did. He did.
And he does. And like, mm-hmm. maybe can you enlighten the fans on maybe your experience and, you know, working with
mm-hmm.
him and working with Sakota. Ryan Sakota, by the way, just called me a couple days ago.
Really? Good.
Ryan Sakota, you know, Kazarian. But, you know, I'm just mentioning names, you know. You,
yeah.
Obviously, Kia, awesome car.
Yeah.
A lot of these people all started with you, even though
sure.
some people claim to start somewhere else, like you said. Maybe you can run down maybe a list of people that started with you, or at least, you know, was in the beginning with you, and
sure.
let the fans know where they came from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, do you
yeah.
have, like, the list of people that you
oh,
– you know,
no, there's plenty. Kia always gives me credit, you know. I mean, the way Kia came in, she came in through the Discovery Channel, you know, that she was on some TV show with them. And they approached me and said, hey, we got this girl, you know, she's on this TV show about losing weight and this and that or whatever. She loves wrestling. We want to surprise her. We want to bring her to the school. Can you give her 11 workouts, 11 training sessions, and then put her on the show? I said, hell yeah. And we did. We put her, you know, gave her the 11 workouts and put her on against Vision, of all people. And she did a heck of a job. And she loved it. She stayed with me as a student, and she kept training, you know, after my deal with them was done. And within 3 months later, you know, at the dojo over in Santa Monica, the New Japan dojo was looking for her. They had somebody coming in. They were looking for female wrestlers, you know, and they wanted to do some tryouts. So I sent Shelly Martinez and her to get that tryout, and they hired Kia. They hired Kia for Japan, and she spent, I think 5 or 6 years out there, you know, and became a legend over there, became a superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's always been very, very, you know, always putting me over.
Didn't Melina as well, former WWE?
Melina. I'm still getting students because of Melina. You know, whenever she runs into anybody, she tells them, hey, you know, where did you train? Where can I go for training? We'll see Jesse Hernandez. And so many others, man. I remember Paul Bearer, you know, when we worked for WWF at the time. And he was always asking me for business cards. You got any business cards? Because, you know, he liked to put our school over, you know. And he always wanted to keep some business cards in his pocket, you know, in his wallet, so he could pass out. He was a wonderful man. Kind of missing.
Yeah, Paul Bearer was awesome. Yeah,
he was awesome.
You know, with the Call for Alley Club, which is we're both members of, I mean, you get to meet a lot of people. It is really honest to bring a friendship. And, you know, having him there, and then, of course, you know, he was up for the award, and then he passed away, unfortunately, you know. So do you remember back in the – well, you know, of course, when I first started, you know, I mentioned myself because it's, you know, the only way I can make the segment work, so to speak. But the one thing that you have that a lot of people don't realize is your training – a lot of people are charging thousands and thousands of dollars to get trained, and yours isn't. You're very affordable for people, and that's one of the reasons I went down to San Bernardino, because I couldn't afford a lot of the schools then. So a lot of people are looking for training, you know, best training for the right price.
Well, you know, I make it feasible for those that are really serious about it. I'm kind of, I played Robin Hood, you know. Those that can't afford it, I make it feasible for them, you know. If they have to, you know, do extra, you know, help out with the ring or whatever they can do to help out, you know, and then so that they can save money on the training, that's what I do, you know. I do different deals with everybody, you know, and just try to make it affordable because, there's a lot of schools out there that charge a lot of money, man, and up front too, bro. And that's just for, you know, some of them are for 3 months. Okay, so you're going to learn something in 3 months, but you're not going to learn everything, you know, not enough to, you know, to make it in this business, you know, and that's what some schools do, you know. Come out here pay so much, and, you know. Here you stay here for us until you learn, you know, that you can go out and do your thing on your own, you know. And
for sure,
Rico Costantino, for example, he was one of those guys that came in within 3 months. I had him wrestling on my shows, you know, within eight or nine months, you know. He was under a development contract with WWF at the time.
Yeah, you know? And let me ask you, speaking of Rico, a lot of people don't know if a lot of people realize it because he looks so young. He started at your school like 39 or something like that, right?
He was 39 when he started with me, and he was 40 years old when he went for that. He went to Florida, I think it was, or somewhere, and they had a bunch of guys out there, you know, that at this dojo. Funk, and let me tell you, man, that they had everybody in line. You know, okay, you know, what's your name? You know, and Nori Funk held a conversation with each and every one of them until, you know, these guys were 20 years old, 21, 22, whatever. You know, when he walked up to Rico, and what's your name? Rico Costantino. How old are you? 40 years old. He didn't ask him no more questions. he felt that, because I talked to Dory about that, you know, and Dory told me that he wasn't going to waste his time. You know, he felt like, at 40 years old, I'm not going to waste my time with this guy, you know. So he skipped him. He went to the next guy and asked him questions, you know, and had conversations with him. He didn't think that, you know, being 40 years old, that this guy was going to, you know, accomplish anything. Well, he proved him wrong. He told me that this guy had the biggest heart than anybody else out there, man. And worked his ass off above everybody else out there, man. That's it, you know, and he says, man, this guy is amazing, you know. And yeah, and Cornette had a lot to do with Rico getting into TV, you know, because they had him out there at OVW, I believe, a few years anyway, 2-3 years before they put him on TV, and they were almost afraid to put him on TV because of his age. And finally, Cornette went to bat for him and said, hey, give this guy a break, man. You know, he deserves it. And he's either going to swim or he's going to drown, and I don't think he's going to drown.
Yeah. No, he did awesome on TV, actually.
Yeah, he was awesome.
For the little time he was on, he actually definitely made his presence known, so to speak, you know. Hey, Jesse,
exactly.
We have a few minutes. You know, we have about 20 minutes left or somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here's a good question for you. This is something we do, and we call it Ribs for Our Pleasure. So you're going to love this segment.
Okay.
What I want from you, if you can you tell us, the audience, we do this with everybody, the best rib that you've ever heard of, that maybe you've pulled on somebody, that you can actually talk about?
That I can actually talk about it. I used to, when we used to do TV, you know, and I used to take a lot of young kids, you know, to fill in, you know, to job out, you know. And I would go and tell somebody like the boss man, and I would tell him, you see that kid standing over there? Go scare him. Go tell him to quit staring at you or something, you know. And these guys will walk up to the boss man, will walk up to whoever he pointed out, you know, and just scare the hell out of them. These guys, well, first of all, they were all nervous, you know, being in that environment of a WWF dressing room and stuff like that, you know. And, man, bro, they were shaking in their boots. Oh, sir, I wasn't looking at you. I wasn't staring at you, you know, and so on and so on, you know. And, man, I'll tell you, we did stuff like, you know, the only one that didn't want to play a rib on anybody, he was so such a nice guy, and that's Foley, bro. I tried to get him to rib somebody, one of our younger guys, and he just looked, nah, I can't do that, you know. Foley's such a great guy, but nah, the rest of them, you know, he did a lot of ribs. I'll tell you, I did a rib on a cop in Tijuana. I'd like to tell you about it. I'm very proud of this rib, bro. I used to go to TJ to wrestle, and I always got there a little bit early. Nobody was in the dressing room. I was out there by myself, and there were some kids up from the back street, you know. They had knocked the door down and stuff, and they were making a lot of noise and screaming and stuff, you know, and pounding. So I went down. The TJ's got that ramp going down, you know, to the arena. And
the cement ramp,
in front of that door.
In front of
that metal door. He'd stand right there. So I told the cop, I said, listen, man, you got some kids out there just making a lot of noise and stuff, you know? They're just terrible. Ah, they're just kids, he says. They're just kids. I said, all right, motherfucker. So I went back up there, and then I went back and sat down, and then they're making more noise again. And then they're calling me, hey, Friday, get off, man. You know, so they're trying to get my attention. So then as I start to walk, you know, before going up the stairs to see what they wanted, this son of a gun dropped a 100-pound block of ice, man. If it would have landed on my head, it would have killed me. It landed right by my feet. I jumped back and said, what the hell? So instead of chasing the kids, what I did, I got that block, and I found that little narrow ramp, and I just let it flow, man. Boom. And it hit that door, that metal door, and I believe that cop rode the damn ice all the way to the ring. And so a few minutes later, he comes up, you know, I said, I told you about those kids. His pants were wet. His pants were all wet, his shirt, everything. I guarantee you, he rode that ice, bro. And I never saw that cop again. He went up and he chased him, and I don't know if he caught him and took him, man. I have no idea, bro.
You're talking about the cement ramp to the entrance, right, that goes down?
Yeah.
You slid it into the arena, basically, if people don't know the arena.
Yeah. I pushed that big old block of ice, bro, down that ramp, and it hit that metal door where the cop was standing, you know, in front of me. And I can just picture in my mind that cop riding the whole block of ice all the way to the ring.
You know, you mentioned something, you know, or you said, mentioned earlier about superstars, you know, like you would bring young boys, you know, young guys into the locker room and how nervous they were. I know a story, maybe I could be wrong about this, but I've heard this for a few times. I think I've heard it from you and a few people. And it just goes to show you how it was back in the day. I mean, nowadays everybody's a wrestler, you know, they'll tell you, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But
Iceman
John Black, of all people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember hearing a story that his debut match was for WWF against...
Yeah, we had a lot of guys.
A lot of guys at WWF, correct? Like enhancement.
Exactly. Louis Spicoli was another one, you know. Billy had sent Spicoli, but his first match was with WWF at the time. And so many others.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. you know.
Not like that anymore.
At the time, they weren't going to go back and forth and wrestle. They were just going to take bumps for these guys, you know, where they beat the shit out of him and cover 1, 2, 3, you know. And so we knew that most of these guys could do that, you know. They could do that, and that's simple, and plus a good payday. That was a good payday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesse, so, like, it's pretty amazing because, of course, you know, I'm one of the, I tell everybody where I was trained. It's I brag about it pretty often, actually. I'm sure you know that because I tag you in person. So, helps a lot, you know. But sometimes maybe you don't want to admit it for a couple minutes there. It depends on what I post at night or something, you know, no worries. A lot of people don't realize, I mean, you were a WWF rep, so you were there for, but the not the attitude era. You were there in the 80s when wrestling was hot and when there was gimmicks and people were, you know, this is when wrestling was, I want to say it, there's a fan that like got real famous by saying, it's real to me, damn it. It's like, these fans were so emotional and they were so into this wrestling. They didn't critique the match and say, oh my God, he messed up there. And just, no, I mean, they went in there, you know, the villains and the heroes, and they believed in that.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
If maybe you could tell me, like, I know you were in WWF and as the referee, maybe your experience in WWF. I know we only have about, on the real time, we have about 4 minutes, and then we have another 15 minutes of bonus time. So we'll switch over if nothing happens, nothing changes. But maybe your experience with WWF as a referee, you know, because you worked with the biggest names in the world, Undertaker at that time. I mean, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
I mean,
Hogan.
You name it. I mean, Roddy Piper. I know Roddy Piper.
Oh, yeah.
Yours, and Jimmy Snuka. I mean, I could keep going and going and going on your appearances with your – who was your favorite people that you worked with? And I also wanted to get on the AWA because, see, that's – I was getting to the point that I love the fact that I can watch ESPN and every once in a while see AWA. I'm not sure if it's on now, but I was – maybe about a year ago, I'm like watching my trainer wrestle on AWA, and there was some amazing talent there. You know,
Brody was my favorite, bro. In AWA, Rooster Brody, he was.
And
my
he's getting
favorite,
an award
know?
At Cauliflower this year.
Yes. He was. Even though I had to tell him, I'm always wrestling this guy, man. You know, but you know what? That guy never hurt me. Never hurt me. And he was such a beast, man. Such a humongous person, you know. He will jump up, but seemed like 15 feet high, bro, to do a leg drop on me, man. And he never hurt me. He would shoot me against the ropes, and it seems like, and it just felt like just fur touching my face, bro. You know. And
I always
if anybody
heard he
got hurt by him,
too.
It's because they didn't know what they were doing, man. You know. Simple
as
that.
Yeah, I heard he was a great guy too, by the way.
Yeah. In WWF at the time, I mean, there were just so many, man. Snuka was one of my favorites, you know. Hogan, when he came in and stuff, you know. I mean, it was just amazing, man. Some of the people that, you know, that I worked with. I got a Hogan story that happened before WWF. If you might have a chance to tell it. And he walked in. He was flying. When guys went to Japan, they had to do a stopover in L.A. for Mike Lavelle. So either he was coming back from Japan to go back to Minnesota or vice versa. But anyway, he did a stopover, and I had never met him, and, you know, we never met. So he walks into the dressing room. It was just him and I. It was a small dressing room. And he walks up to me and says, hey, how you doing? I'm Hulk Hogan. And I'm Jesse Hernandez. And so then he seemed nervous. I said, brother, you seem a little bit nervous. What's up? He said, brother, they want me to wrestle babyface, and I've never done that, bro. Never done that. I looked at him and said, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
That's
the rest
funny.
Is history, brother. But he had always worked as a heel and never as a baby face, and he was nervous about it.
That's funny.
My introduction to him.
You know what's funny about Hulk Hogan is a lot of people don't realize, if you've ever seen his Japanese work, the guy can wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
He just didn't have to, you know, on TV.
He
just did his normal stuff. But in
left of our regular time.
Uh-huh. Okay, no problem. Yeah, and if you ever watched him, if anybody is listening, well, we have people listening. But if search Hulk Hogan's Japanese footage, I mean, I watched him. I've seen him do all kinds of stuff. I was like, wow, this is awesome. It just goes to show you. A lot of people talk bad. You know, they talk bad about John Cena. about Hulk Hogan, you know, it doesn't matter. Or John Cena, he doesn't know what he's doing, or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, honestly, I've seen John Cena work Frankie Kazarian at the Ultimate Pro Wrestling shows. I think you might have been there for that. I mean,
they
didn't work a wrist lock. They worked a finger.
The
whole time.
You know,
it's amazing.
What it is a lot of people, they just like to be hurt, you know. They want to say, oh, this guy ain't worth the shit. You know, that guy ain't worth the shit. They're just talking through their butts, most of them, you know. But Hogan, you know, he can wrestle, you know. It's like when he worked Japan, or if he ever went to Mexico, he worked harder than he did with the WWE or WWF at the time. Because here, you're just limited as to what they want you to do. You know, in Japan, you got 20-minute matches, 30-minute matches or more, you know, and there's a lot to do, and then that's where you can show your skills.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I did, a lot of people don't realize that footage, too. I've never seen the footage of Hogan in Japan. I'm like, that is amazing.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Anyhow, of course, now, Jesse, can you maybe say your experiences in AWA? I know you said Bruiser Brody is one of your favorites and whatnot, but do you remember, I remember Mr. Perfect was in there, Scott Hall. I mean, the Midnight Rockers.
Oh, man,
I mean,
great guy, man. Scott Hall, you know, at the time, you know, awesome people. The people that I worked with were amazing, man. One time I got a chance to work against Saito, you know. And back in those days, you know, the dressing rooms were separated. One, you know, the babies in one corner of the building, and the other corner you had the heels. And so there was no communication, actual communication, you know, just, you know, back and forth, you know, maybe a couple of things that they were sent over with the referee. Brother, to get in the ring with Saito, Masa Saito, was an experience. I said, oh, man, he was one of my heroes growing up, you know, even though he was a heel. I love his work, you know. And I was so proud to, you know, I'm finally going to be in the ring. And the guy that they were putting me as a partner was some kid from Orange County. And he was talking shit in the dressing room, you know. Oh, that guy hurts me. This guy's hurting me, man. I want to fire back on them. You know, he was making an idiot out of himself, you know. So evidently, I guess, work got back to them. But when I got in the ring with, it was him I can't remember the guy's name. Some kind of a samurai warrior. I don't know. I don't remember. Some masked guy. But anyway, big Japanese guy. And so, brother, when I got in the ring with Saito, it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. He, you know, he didn't hurt you. He didn't, you know, just, it was just amazing, bro. But that other poor guy, oh, they messed him up. You know, that's why it's important, you know, for guys to learn not to open their mouths. And then one advice I'd like to give the young generation of guys coming up, man, is when you're green, keep your mouth shut, you know. Don't say shit that's going to come back and, you know, and then bite you in the butt, you know. It's too, you know, guys, they feel that they need to express every little feeling that they have, you know. And so then they start talking to the fellow the friends there, you know, and they don't realize that their own friends are going to snitch them off, you know. So you keep all that touch to yourself, you know, and just go out there and have a good time.
Well, and that's, you know, it goes back to respect. So it goes back to respect. I mean, you know, listen to, you know, close your mouth, open your ears, you know, it's like like a sponge. And, you know, if you're humble and you're good to people,
mm-hmm.
People are going to take care of you, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, you could be not, so, you know, in my opinion, this is how I operate, so to speak. You could be like a mediocre wrestler, but amazing backstage, amazing, you know, helping out, doing that. I'd rather use that person than that guy that is, you know, the superstar, you know, that or thinks he's a superstar, you know?
Absolutely. You know,
there's
guys that may not be great wrestlers, but they got great personalities, the way they handle people, the way they talk to people, the respect that they show. It's a lot more than the knowledge. They can always work with him. They can always, you know, help him along, you know, and guide him and build him up, you know, as they want, you know. But if you can be the best wrestler in the world, but if you got the worst attitude, who the hell's going to want you?
No, I mean, especially once you finally make WWE. I mean, they'll eat you alive.
Oh, yeah. And
they'll eat you alive.
There's no second chances there, brother, you know.
I've been hearing.
My guys make mistakes left and right, and, you know, and I'm like a father figure, you know, and I can, you know, I sometimes I'm just too nice, you know.
Well, unfortunately, you have a heart.
you know,
yeah.
just like me.
Yeah,
you know, people run all over it, but you know,
they do. They run over us, you know.
You know, they don't appreciate
yeah.
what we give them, unfortunately. And there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately. But there's a lot of people out there that are really good to you and really good to me. And
absolutely.
I want to thank those people because, I mean, if it wasn't really for their help,
yeah.
you know, we wouldn't be what we're doing right now. But, hey, Jesse, what – Joseph is one of our hosts. He's the one that does all our PR work. Obviously, I thank
uh-huh.
him all the time. He does our website, everything. We were just talking about this last night, and I just want to have a quick opinion from you. How important is it, at least back in the day, it isn't so much anymore, it seems like, to have a pair of wrestling boots?
Oh, my brother, in the old days, you were not allowed to be in the ring unless it was a gimmick to wrestle barefooted, you know. I remember there was a couple of kids that started shortly before me and my partner did, you know, and they were going into their first match, you know, they had a scheduled match, you know, first time around, you know. And this was for the LaBelle promotion. For some reason, they wanted to give these guys an opportunity, and their boots didn't come in. Guess what? They had, you know, that the bottom kind of went around your foot, you know, and
yeah.
no boots. They wrestle. They would rather wrestle barefooted than tennis shoes. You know,
that's awesome.
Believe it or not, that you know, I mean, personally, I thought, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. But you know that's the attitude that they had back then, you know, and they knew that they would get their butts kicked if they didn't wear wrestling boots.
Yeah,
you know,
and I see wrestling boots. I mean, I just think it symbolizes you being a professional wrestler. You know,
well, absolutely.
Like, I mean, you know, there are some exceptions. I think Rob Van Dam has never put on wrestling shoes, but I mean, just be
yeah.
honest. I mean, it's Rob Van Dam. He's paid his dues. He's been there from
well,
day
the
one.
Thing,
you know, so.
Well, the thing is, you know, is that he made a name for himself. You know, from the very beginning. You know, they allowed it, and, you know, and he, you know, he showed that he's a good worker, and, you know, everybody got used to it, you know. But it's like Cena. Cena doesn't wear boots, but, you know, that's been his, well, he did wear them, you know, in UPW, didn't he?
Who's this?
He did, but, you know, in the John Cena, he wore boots in
UPW. Yeah,
then, but the gimmick that they gave him in WWE at the time, well, hey, you know, with tennis shoes, you know, that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
what
and
you
actually,
do.
He actually had boots when he first started doing the gimmick that he was doing, like the little hip-hop gimmick. They actually made
mm-hmm.
boots
yeah.
where they look like those Ace Adidas, you know, but they were boots.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, you know.
Sure.
But, no, it's a gimmick. I mean, it's totally understandable, you know. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we were just talking about it, so I thought I'd bring it up. It was just kind
yeah.
of funny. Hey, Jesse, I actually make my return to Empire Wrestling Federation on Saturday. You guys are going to be in Baldwin Park on Saturday.
That's right.
And I know the last time you were there, you guys had a huge crowd. Can you maybe let the fans know where we can see Empire Wrestling Federation? Obviously, Vendetta Pro Wrestling is a big supporter of you guys, and we want to know
yes.
your next few dates if you have those on you in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have on the 14th, which is Saturday, we're in at Sierra Vista High School, and you're going against. As a matter of fact, you were supposed to go against Andy Brown.
Yes.
And he's got an emergency that he can't be there, so you'll be going against Vintage Dragon.
Uh oh.
Vintage
Dragon. That's gonna be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, Sierra Vista High School. You know, it's gonna be one heck of a good show, and then the following week it'll be a fundraiser in City of Industry, VFW 1944. And that's located at 16157 East Gale Avenue, City of Industry. You just go to Empire Wrestling Federation to get more information on our upcoming events. We also got San Bernardino the week after that. So every week coming up, every weekend, we got something going on. You know, but Empire Wrestling Federation will give you all the information that you need.
EmpireWrestlingFederation.com? And what is your
web address
for wrestling school? For your wrestling school.
The wrestling school
your web.
The wrestling school is located at 360 West Court Street in San Bernardino.
Okay, and do you have a website for that too, don't you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Or is it linked to the Empire Wrestling Federation? It's linked to the
yeah,
Empire
you can
Wrestling
get it. You can get it through our link. There's a link there. Schok training.com is the webpage as well.
Awesome.
Webpage, but
there's a link from the others to that.
And we have about 5 minutes or less. Joseph, I know you've been on the phone a couple times. Do you have a question for Jesse Hernandez?
Actually, no. I was just kind of sitting back listening, letting letting him tell the story. Because, I mean, having somebody on your radio show who has as much knowledge and as much experience as they have, you know, as Jesse has, compared to having somebody who just started, you can have somebody who just started a couple years ago, and yeah, you might be able to learn a little bit about their story, and that's great. But being able to have somebody who actually has been around this business, who knows, quite frankly, has more stories than any, to me, that's just pretty cool. So
thank you, appreciate it. Maybe one of these days you give me a name and I'll tell you a story of each individual.
I was just going to say, Jesse Hernandez, have you ever considered a book?
I have considered it. It's just a matter of, getting it done.
Yeah. It'd be pretty awesome, especially little stories like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
But Jesse, we're almost done with this interview. Can you at least, we already give your website. Can you let people know how to get a hold of you possibly if they have any questions, they want to comment, they want to just say, hey, Jesse Hernandez, I remember you from AWA. WWF.
Yeah, they can reach me by email, restref@aol.com, or they can go into my Facebook. I got a couple of pages. One's Empire Wrestling Federation, and the other one is Jesse Hernandez. On Facebook, and you can, follow me and talk to me. It's just great. Some of the people that ask me questions through Facebook or whatever, you meet so many people from all over the world. I got fans in Spain. I got a good friend from Spain that always communicates with me. Manuel Morado is his name. Very nice guy. Just incredible. Just incredible.
Hey, this is a quick, I'm only bringing this up because we're kind of done with it. We have about 2-3 minutes. Hey, what's your, do you have any funny stories about Dennis Stamp?
Dennis Stamp. I remember Dennis Stamp. But he kind of busted my bubble on one of the, what was it on, that one documentary that they did.
He's pretty famous
where he
now.
Was begging, he was begging, he was
Terry
begging
Funk,
to get on the show.
Yeah. He's we don't have enough time to actually talk about it, but he was on that documentary. He's definitely one. He's actually more popular now than he was then. That's the awesome thing about it,
Yeah, but I remember watching Dennis Stamp out here in San Bernardino years ago.
Yeah. Well, do you remember Bakersfield Dome?
Bakersfield, of course. I wrestled there many times.
And it's one of the last places that are, and it's not wrestling no more. Now it is church as well. Go figure, huh?
Yeah. I remember a match that I had years ago. I had a match against I think it was Mondo and Hector, or could have been Hector and Chavo, whoever he was, But anyway, and it was me and Jay York against these guys. And Jay York, brother, he'd go in for a minute. 30 seconds or so, and then tag me in. I was in there for the longest time, brother. And every time I tagged him, he would go in for just a short little 15 seconds and 20 seconds or whatever. And, man, those were those guerreros really, they blew me up, brother.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've never watched him. Yeah. I've wrestled Chavo Jr. He's freaking awesome. Well, Jesse, we're going to cut off before anybody we're going to cut off before. So, hey, thanks for coming on our show, Jesse. We appreciate
you.
What you do for the business. I mean, that's the most important thing. You've done a lot for everybody, including myself. So, again, I want to thank you. And Vendetta Pro wants to thank you because, obviously, it wasn't for you that we want to be around. So, thank you for coming on our radio show.
Thank you. And I hope to see everybody at Baldwin Park this Saturday. Baldwin
Park.
Yeah,
we'll be pushing as well. Yeah, we'll be pushing our website as well. So, thank you, Jesse.
Great, buddy.
I appreciate
thanks
it. And
so
I'll,
much.
I'll see you Saturday. Okay, thanks, Jesse.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Okay, no
take
problem.
Care.
Thanks. Bye.
Awesome. Great interview right there with Jesse Hernandez. And, of course, Friday, March 27th, Vendetta Pro Wrestling returns to the Radisson Hotel, 3455 Airport Drive. Get your tickets right now at www.vendettaprowrestling.com. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.